Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Geek Enders Podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Dodger, what up? Let's go.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow and see what the Geek Enders are all about.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time. On gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Geek Enders. What happened? You talk.
What do you mean? Oh, you mean with my life?
Oh, yeah, sure. What happened with your life, dude?
You said, what happened? And I was like, did something break? Did you ruin the show? Just started.
The screens got all messed up for some reason. You talk. How are you doing?
I'm great. Sorry, the screens are messed up. I don't know why that is.
Hello, everyone.
Audio listeners, you're in for a treat. You don't have to worry about any of this.
That's so true.
It's the Geek Enders. We're back for another Geek End. That's rough. And hey, it's post-Thanksgiving here in the States.
It is.
A lovely time with the family yesterday. By which I mean, we went out, got lunch. I was done by 2. Solid.
Nice.
Thanksgiving. Yeah,
very
good Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And everything is good over here, Cox-wise. However, let me tell you some BS. So,
oh, yes. I'm so excited about the BS. Tell me.
You'll notice I'm in different surroundings today. This is my apartment. Not built for broadcasting. You can hear the echo, probably. Here's the thing, gang. I'm out of this place in like a month. I'm so over it. We have talked about before how I wanted to move, and I was looking to move to someplace in LA, and I found like a very nice location, very hype on, a lot of places to walk to, pretty excited about it. And I went there and I was like, man, these apartments are so damn expensive. I don't like, man, this city is a mess. And then the guy was like, well, we do have one apartment. It's like in a corner, but the view is terrible. I'm like, what's the view? The view literally overlooks the roof of a Whole Foods. And he's like, no one wants this unit. The view's terrible. And I was like, what kind of deal can you give me on this?
Yeah.
Like,
keep talking.
He was like, yeah. And he was like, well, let's see what we can do. I got a steal on this bad boy. So I was like, yeah, all right, I'm in. So I have a month left on this lease. And for a while I was thinking like, maybe I don't want to move. My apartment's fine. I like it here. I'm constantly reminded. It's just like when sometimes in life I think like maybe I do want kids, and then you tell me about something insane. I'm like, no, I'm good.
Yeah. You get into this weird like rose colored glasses mode with something in life, and then you see it for what it truly is and you go, wait, Yeah.
Yes. It happens to me frequently, especially when it comes to like everything in my life. It's LA. You know LA. There, you'll get like word that like a bunch of really cool kids got together and had a cool kid party. Sure. And you were invited. And I'm like, I wish I would love to have gone to that. But then it's like,
that's fine.
Oh, no, I hate everyone there. Why would I want to go to that? And I realize it's just like, I just want to be invited. I don't necessarily want to go. So, yeah. You know, that's I get my head like that sometimes with many things. Mm-hmm. And so this apartment was one of them. And I was like, well, maybe I'll stay. I don't know. And the night that I was considering moving, the power went out at roughly 9 p.m. Didn't turn on until after I left for the office the next day. So I woke up with no clue what time it was. My phone was dead. All the power was out. All I knew was sunny out. And I was like living like a settler. I was like, well, it's light. So I guess I should start my day. So
looking at the sun in the sky, like, what time is it?
Yeah. I was like, well, it must be after 6 a.m. because the sun is out. So I just like went about my day, did my stuff, and then went to work, got there. The power was on in the office, thank God. And I was like, okay, cool. What time is it? 7:07 a.m. I was like, okay, well, that's neat. So I, that was one like, all right, you know what? The power goes out in my area of LA with a frequency that I hate. And I just, sure. I'm like, not doing this anymore. Then today, as another reminder that I'm making the right choice, I go downstairs to, you know, leave the parking garage or this apartment complex to go to the office, to get on stream with you. Garage door will not open.
No. See,
that was a pose. Dukes, that was a pose we could have used.
It had to be in the moment.
Oh, I missed it. damn.
It's okay.
We could have used that for a thumbnail.
Just find it. How we've been recording for 6 minutes and 18 seconds. Just go to 6-ish minutes and find when I did. And then it'll be fine.
That's fine. So then, I go downstairs. Garage door is like half cocked. It's like half open, half closed, stuck. And I'm like, huh, what's going on here? This woman comes up to me in the parking garage and is like, I called maintenance. It's not opening. So I guess I'm not going to work today. I was like, yeah, this is weird. Like, wait, so what do they expect us to do? She's like, I don't know, but I'm pissed off. I need a paycheck. I was like, okay. So I just like reversed back into my parking spot, was like, I guess I should be thankful. I like, this is my job. Otherwise I would be screwed. Right. Like, what am I supposed to do? So surely, that also reminded me, this place sucks and it's time to move. No.
All garage doors like that should have some sort of an emergency open.
You would think the garage door that we have in this complex is like a big metal grate. And if you try to open it or close it, it's too heavy. It has counterweights and things. So there's no way you can lift it. And if you do, you'll break it. And I've seen that happen before, because the last time it got stuck, some dude lifted, he broke it, and it was open for 3 weeks. And so what's the point of having a garage door then? This place sucks. This place used to be great like 12 years ago. And then continuously what's happened is people come in and buy the property. And it's always like a big investment firm or like some company from overseas. They'll buy the property and then make a few changes, jack up the rent, and then sell it. And then another company comes in. I'm like, this sucks. So it's just gotten worse and worse and worse and worse. And so now it's time to go. This place. Trash.
You're leaving. Plate. You're leaving, baby. Get out of there.
Now I trade.
Go stare at a Whole Foods.
yeah. I trade a beautiful view for the Whole Foods roof, but I'll be honest, fine with it. What am I at though? I'm not gonna. Who do I care? Like, whatever.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Well,
so that's my struggles this morning as I record from home.
I see.
Yeah.
You literally can't leave.
They've
locked you in.
All this is the most first world problem stuff in the world. Like, it's not like a real issue. just a minor inconvenience in the grand scheme of things, but enough to make a person literally pack up their life. As you can see, I have boxes everywhere, pack up their life and leave. Yeah, not a fan. Especially with LA rent prices.
Look,
you gotta have like good stuff for me to even tolerate you anymore.
Well, that's the thing, right? Is like, you've been there long enough that there's resentment built up in your heart, and it just feels good to complain and be like, they suck. This place sucks. Yes.
This is like,
and I know the area that you live in, and I know around the amount that you pay in rent, and it's sure. too much. It's too much to be dealing with that shit.
Yes. So. Yes. It's, you know, what's funny is it like has the same vibe as like the girl who yells at her boyfriend about cleaning the dishes, but really it's about the last 10 years of like not doing his shit, you know, right? Where it's like the fight's about the dishes, but really it's about something else.
Right.
That's what this feels like, where I have years of built up animosity towards this apartment complex. Right? And I've just been like, maybe it'll get better. Maybe it'll get better.
And so when and you do complain not. About something that on its own is small, you're complaining yes. about it with the energy of 10 years of aggression.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I have a lot of that built up. This place has had that one time the elevators went down for 3 weeks. That was a whole treat because the stairs, I live in a section of LA where there's a lot of old people. Mm-hmm. So the stairs were like a war zone. There'd be like old ladies sitting on the stairs like, give me a few minutes, I'll be okay. It was crazy. I was like, how can they get away with this? 3 weeks? And the only reason why it was 3 weeks is because we had an earthquake and some dude and his girlfriend were trapped in the elevator. And the dude trying to show off instead of wait for the people to come and open the doors, pulled the doors open himself and broke the elevator. And it's like, cool, my man. So they broke. It's like, what are we supposed to do? So I'm like, all right, cool. So that sucked.
Oh, my God.
We had half the apartments in this complex were rented out to Airbnb at one point. And so, like, we got to jack up the price so that people who are using it for Airbnb will be priced out. And I'm like, what are you talking about? So we had a lot of that. And I'm just so tired. Oh, so I found a much better place, and I'm very happy. Okay. Better, cheaper, and it's next to a Whole Foods. So I guess I'll lose all the money I was going to save on rent. I now will give
at Whole
to
Foods. Yeah.
Jeff Bezos. Yeah. Yeah. So to big Twitch daddy. So that should be fine. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm cool. happy for you. I hope you like the new place.
Yeah, so do I.
Are you closer to mama and papa?
No, actually further away by 3 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, which in LA time is roughly 8 hours.
I was going to say, so when there's traffic between, you know, 2 yeah, yeah. and 7 p.m. Yeah,
I will see them every other Thursday in the month of January.
Yeah, right.
Like that'll be that's all. My mom was like, maybe we'll move too. And I was like, yeah. And she's like, yeah, but I don't know. Maybe we'll move out of state, but then we never see you. And I'm like, well, what do you do? What you want to do? And she's like, well, I don't know. Maybe. I'm like, okay.
Do they like living in LA?
I assume so. I assume because there's a lot to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're never going to be bored or want for things to do. But it's also a city that is way too expensive, and getting around is a hassle, especially since the public transit's like kind of shit. But
yeah.
There's still just a lot to do here, and the weather is constantly great. So I don't know, it's give and take.
My parents are selling their place in the desert because the prices are just going up like crazy.
Sure.
And I was like, oh man, you know, because they both have like arthritis and things. And so I was like, man, it sucks though, because that means that when it gets really cold in Oregon, you won't be in the warmer weather. Your bodies are gonna feel uncomfy again, right? And my mom was like, I mean, we'll just go down there and rent for a couple of months and then come home. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm not worried.
You can use the money.
Sounds
like,
great.
If it's any indication of what the costs are, I mean, like, I'm seeing houses in the middle of nowhere in the desert that are like $1.8 million. I'm like, how, what, for
no,
what
for
purpose?
Because I want to say it was around 10 years ago Sam and I were looking at places in the desert because my parents were like, bro, the cost of houses in Palm Springs is like insane. They're so cheap. And
plus,
we were like, oh my God, they're so cheap out there.
Mm-hmm.
Not anymore. Not anymore.
That's because people got it in their head. Oh my God, it's so cheap out there. Let's move out there. And everyone who had places out there was like, let's jack up the price.
Yeah. And well, you know, everybody that wants to be within driving distance of LA and mm-hmm. still be in a nice area are like, Palm Springs is only a couple hours away, you know?
Yeah.
So it is what it is. Oof. It's fine. Yeah. If you really love golf and Coachella, that's the place to be.
Or like touristy crepe restaurants. For some reason, Palm Springs is like, do you like crepes? Are you a tourist? Come to Palm Springs. I have no idea why. I couldn't explain it.
Dude. Yeah. It's feels nice out there, though. It's that dry heat. Feels amazing when you're out there.
Yeah. It's not bad.
It's not bad.
Oh my goodness. Well, hey, welcome everyone to Geekenders, the show where two adults complain about adult problems. Video games, no thank you. I've
absolutely
got bills
not
to pay.
No. I brought with me today a Hobbit update. Would you like a Hobbit update?
For the sweet, sweet child?
Yes.
And her adventures through the Hobbit? I of course would love it.
Yes.
Last time we left off, if I remember, you had gotten to the trolls and the various fartings and turning into stones.
Right. So we truly went for it. We've experienced the spiders, all of Mirkwood. We met the wood elves. We hopped into barrels and escaped through the river. We got to Lake Town and declared that we were Thorin Oakenshield.
Oh, you've ended the first movie, I see.
Bro, I was looking at the pages and I was like, oh my God. We've reached the point where spoilers for The Hobbit, I guess. But we've reached the point where like they've gotten to the mountain and they've found the secret door and Bilbo's climbing in to find the dragon. And I'm like, oh my God. I didn't think we'd ever get this far. I'm so excited. We're going to finish this book. I'm so jazzed. I thought that when we got to all of the spiders attacking and kidnapping the dwarves, I thought she might nope out, but she didn't. She was really invested in making sure that they got away from the spiders. And so she wanted me to keep reading. And I was like, great. And then after that is basically when they get grabbed by the wood elves.
Right.
And we had to reread that section a couple of times because
she couldn't buy that a dwarf and an elf would fall in love.
Because
that's in the book, right?
It is not. I wish it was.
What?
No.
What? Why would anyone add that? It makes no sense.
It's so crazy. Why would anyone add that? Good thing no one ever did.
Thank God. Yeah.
But the whole section where they're like, we're going to get into barrels. Like Bilbo has just been wandering around with his little ring on for weeks in this castle. And he figures out that there's a water gate, basically. And he's like, all right, everybody's going to get into a barrel and we're going to get into the water and go through the water gate. That section, as a grown-ass person, is so confusing to read. It's so confusing to figure out, like, why did the elves put them in there? Like they, oh my goodness. How did they determine which barrels were going to go in the water? How did they make it so that the elves decided, like, oh, these need to go in the water? Once they got through the water, the dwarves are in those barrels, trapped in those barrels in the water for multiple days. I was like, I don't understand. It's fine. I just don't understand.
Are you saying that the movie version actually depicted this better than the book version? I think that's what I'm hearing you say.
It was definitely more dynamic.
What you said.
all of them just hanging out of the barrels and going down rapids. Yeah, like, yeah, that was pretty tight, honestly.
I'm eating while I'm going down the barrel. Oh, no, there's guys over there. We'll get to throw stuff at them.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So I'm excited to meet Smaug. I'm really excited. We're there. We're there. We've walked in, dude.
The way you said it was like a woman going on a blind date. I'm excited to meet Smaug.
Like, I'm really excited. I don't know much
about him, but his pictures look nice. Yeah. He has a lot of money. Very
Everyone
wealthy.
Says he sounds like Benedict Cumberbatch. Loved him in Sherlock BBC. So, yeah, I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, I can't wait to meet him. Can't wait to meet Smaug.
Can't wait to meet Smaug.
I hear he's from the old country.
The really old country.
The extremely old country, yeah. But it's generational wealth that he has. And I think he has a castle? I'm not sure, though. It's like something in a mountain. Yeah. Very exciting.
I feel like he might have some really strong opinions about colonization, but we can talk about that another time.
Yeah. Like, really, I'm mostly in for the money, to be honest.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, we're on page like 250 something, and there's 350 awesome. Pages. So we got 100. We've got like 100 pages left. Easy peasy. I'm so jazzed.
That's pretty good. I'm curious what Clark is gonna think of the whole like Bilbo small dragon. Like, I gotta outsmart the dragon kind of vibe, because it's very cerebral.
Yeah.
And it's not like and then he slew the dragon. It's not that at all. So I'm curious.
Because that's not Bilbo, right? Like, right. Although we had the whole section with the spiders, I did not remember Bilbo killing as many spiders as he did. He really went for it, dude. But I will say that when we did the whole Gollum section, the riddles, I skipped some of those fucking riddles because they tell so many riddles in that section, and call me a dum-dum, but half of them don't make any goddamn sense.
I wish I was in the room, because in my imagination, the riddles you're saying are like, what is Gollum said to Bilbo? What is black and white and red all over? And Bilbo said, the newspaper. And he was right. Like kids riddles.
And then Gollum went, 50 hobbitses. Yeah. Dudes, how can you skip the riddles? Because there was a 6-year-old next to me and she did not have the patience and neither did I. Because she wants to understand what the answer. And some of those riddles don't make any fucking sense, gang. And I was like, and again, maybe I'm stupid, but like, I was reading some of these and being like, I don't think this was a good riddle. I don't like this riddle. And I didn't want to explain them to her. So I skipped a few. Yeah.
Damn. Self-censoring for the youth of America.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Another book that I censored a lot was James and the Giant Peach. a lot of weird child abuse at the beginning of that book. It was a mess.
I love the fact that if I were like, this could be the start of some sort of Mandela effect kind of thing for Clark, where Clark's like 10, 20 years from now, just like James the Giant Peach. I don't remember a peach being in that. I feel like
edited out the whole peach.
You edited out the peach. Yeah.
Like, I don't want her to think that she can climb inside of peaches.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to give my child the belief that they can climb in front of, like, in a peach. That's crazy. So we said it was a balloon. James and the Giant Balloon.
James and the Giant Balloon filled with cool insect people.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Oh, good. Did you do anything? By the way, before I ask if you did anything crazy or fun this week.
Yes.
I must stress.
Stress away.
I finally am done with TV for a while. It's a weird thing to say, but every show I've been watching, done with.
Nice.
Yeah. And I'm you're thankful. Free. Yeah. Well, I mean, like Penguin slapped. What an incredible ending. Like, I've never, you know how I emotionally vampire people being Final Fantasy 14?
Yes.
Same thing with Penguin. I'm emotionally vampiring people watching the last episode. I think people forgot the Penguin is a bad guy.
Oh, and no. So,
because, like, because he's so endearing as a character in the series.
Yeah.
I think people forgot he's a bad guy. So the last episode is like pure villainry. And I'm just like, yeah. Just like watching people like cry and get messed up or be like, yeah. What the hell? Mwah. Loved it. Big fan. Mm-hmm.
Arcane's and then I watched, done.
Oh, yeah.
So that was good.
I'm very curious, you know, what they're going to do with that franchise when it comes to new Batmans.
Sure. But,
very cool. And then Arcane was lovely. The end of that was very nice.
Yeah, I was really happy with the end.
Yeah.
No, spoilers, chat.
I will not spoil, of course.
Yeah.
But I got to see it with, so our dear, sweet friend, Kristen, who now works at Riot.
Who works at Riot, yep.
We'll invite me to some cool stuff. And first off, every time I go to a Riot event, I'm forced to remember the fact that we live, even though this is a very big city, we live in a very small community of people. And every time I go to Riot events, I realize that half of the women I know in my life now work at Riot.
Yeah.
It is crazy the amount of people who are like, hey, Jesse, I'm like, you work here now? It's like, yeah,
I know. Oh, okay. And occasionally I'll go on, like, you know, Blue Sky or something and see somebody talking about how they work at Riot. I'm like, since when? When did that person start working there? I don't even remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you that Sam was going to work there? Like, before?
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. When he first moved out to America and before we had gotten married, so he couldn't apply for like the green card or anything.
Mm-hmm.
He had gone there for a tour because he was maybe going to work there, and he like really heavily considered it. But at the time, they didn't let you stream if you were also working there. So it was like you would have to not be a content creator anymore if you wanted to work there, basically, which obviously is not the situation anymore. But at the time, that was that was the deal. And so he like hemmed and hawed over it for a while and then was like, I think I'm just going to keep doing my own thing, which wound up being the right call, obviously. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I am very happy for Kristen. She's doing great. Traveling the world, living her life, doing better than the Jesse Cox experience. That's for sure. And so I was there. Kristen and I hung out. We like, it was a finale event. So it was the last three episodes at the downtown at a big theater, and they had this whole thing where you could like play stuff and do stuff. It was very fun. They had the same thing last year, like the last time they did it. And so went to it. All I will say is, and I mean this in the nicest of terms, some of y'all too damn horny, just too horny. And I am a professional hornball. Some of y'all too horny.
Mm-hmm.
Without spoils, there is a scene. I know Dodger will know this immediately. There is a scene in the second to last episode where the crowd like went crazy.
Oh,
not like cheering crazy, but like I thought an orgy was going to break out. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I was like, what the hell? There are people next to me who were like panting. I was like, what is going on? It was crazy.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay.
It was a lot. It was
kind of glad I wasn't there. Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, it was very fun. But that one scene was so funny. I was like, the hell? So, yeah. But I love the way it ended. I thought, if anything, it could probably have used one more season to flesh out some things. But that's just me being selfish.
It sounds like they've already... I don't know whether to feel excited or nervous when a franchise goes, and we've already greenlit the next three shows that we're going to do.
Yeah, apparently, like, they're saying it's not three shows, but it's three things they're going to do, which could be games or any, like, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? I have no clue. But apparently, someone was like, Arcane, that universe we're creating is the new real lore for...
Yeah.
The game now. So all the other lore is kind of retconned out, which, as you know, as a person who's gone through World of Warcraft, I sympathize, but also you'll be fine. Like it's whatever.
Not to spoil anything about the show, but they have already changed some stuff in the game to reflect the show.
Yes.
And some people are like, awesome, that's fun. And other people are like, I hate this.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's been divisive, but at the end of the day, it's their game. So if they want to say this is the new canon, then it's the new canon, right?
I mean, that's what I want to do when it comes to, like, I have an idea. You know me, I'm very inquisitive. So I have an idea for a show that I want to do that literally is just me sitting down with people and being like, hey, tell me about this thing that I have zero knowledge of and I'd love to know more about. And one of the things I want to do is
doing a show like that too. I think that's such a fun idea. Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the things I want to do is definitely be like, yeah, what's the deal with the league lore? How's that work?
Yeah.
Like, I know enough to know, but not enough to be up to date. Like, I know originally from back in the day what the story was.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm like, well, how does that connect? And where's this going to lead to? And what's that thing? And so I'm very curious. And so I really want to do that. And like ask, you know, less Jesse talk and me just be like, so how's that work? What's that thing?
I was so glad that I went into Arcane not knowing anything about any characters, right? I was like, I know people really want to kiss Jinx and Ahri, and that's all that I really know about the game, you know? I've watched a KDA music video. You know, that's like the extent where I was at going into Arcane. And after the first season of Arcane came out, a bunch of my friends that are really into League were like, and now you should read this and you should go watch this and you should look at this comic. And I didn't do any of that.
Sure.
Because I was like, I kind of want to see, I don't want to go into season two with any expectations or any like assumptions about what's going to happen at all, you know? And I'm really glad that I did that. And I do feel the pull to look some things up. And I'm resisting because I feel like whatever, because I know at least one thing with Fortiche is like on the books, like a next thing with them. And I'm like, I kind of just, again, want to go in and be like, who the fuck are these people?
You know? Apparently they've already been working on a thing for a year. Like the next thing is already under development. And that's cool. Like, I think what people need to understand is League of Legends is fine. I played it once. I got out on top with an amazing score of 1-0. I shall never return. I don't want to play it ever again. It would frustrate me.
Yeah.
Like that, the game is whatever. TFT, fun. It's fun, but I'm like not that kind of player. I'm like a big RPG nerd. So most of what they're doing is not in my alley. However, Arcane has a very special place in that it isn't just like, it's a League thing and they're trying to sell you League of Legends. If anything, they've only sold me on Arcane. Like visually, voice actor wise, music wise, everything about the show is so well done that I am in for more of the animation and more of what they're doing than any of their games, which I think is interesting because it's kind of a flip compared to, for example, Fallout or Edgerunners. Were those things, the minute I was done watching them, I was like, yo, I want to go play those games.
Right.
Like, I want to go experience that. This is different. This is like, yeah, I don't really want to play League. I just want more of this.
Yeah. Yes, I completely agree. I think I know for a fact that a lot of people went to try playing League after Arcane came out. But I think you're right that a lot of the interest wound up being in the world and the characters that League already has established, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, fortunately, at this point, there's a bunch of comics out there, you know, like little lore dump things that you can read. Like there's ways to engage with that world without having to play League. So,
I mean, they have a few RPGs out there, things they've created that are more on their indie side of things, but then they scrapped that entire department. So I don't know, you know, I guess they're working on an MMO, which is fine. Like, okay. But unless it's really compelling and really good, you know, unfortunately most MMOs end up being kind of jank.
Yeah. And I was going to say, have we seen a major company, like a big, well-established company make just a standard MMO recently? I don't feel like anybody's tried to make an MMO in like the current landscape.
I feel like Western companies, no. There are a lot of Chinese companies producing MMOs.
That's fair.
A lot.
Right.
Like, I think the last big one was, yeah, Amazon New World. That was the last one.
I forgot that that even exists.
Yeah, and that was only big because, let's be real here.
Yeah.
People got paid a bunch of money to play that when that first came out. And so that's all that was streamed by a lot of people. But it wasn't natural growth. It was people were saying, hey, this is sponsored, and everyone's in the stream watching it. But then once the sponsorships ran up, no one played it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it immediately died when sponsorships ended. And so, I mean, like, I think that's, you know, that's unfortunate for the game, but also, like, what was the, like, the when people watched, there was no draw-in to get you really excited to play. I mean, MMOs are fickle. Like, Final Fantasy 14 is a great example. Shadowbringers, Endwalker, the hype was crazy. People are losing their mind over that thing. Dawn Trail comes out, people are like, it's all right. Immediately, no one, like, the hype for the game vanished overnight. People moved on to something else.
Mm-hmm.
What is, you know, it's unfortunately the way MMOs work. But if you make a new expansion and something comes up, then you can get the hype again. But it's an ebb and flow. I mean, WoW's a perfect example as well. WoW's had some pretty trash expansions, and they've had some pretty good ones. People are like, I'm back, baby. Let's go.
Back in.
Yeah. I mean, it happens. But it's hard if you have a rough launch. You know what I mean?
For sure.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think of anything, but I don't think so. Somebody, I think a lot of people realize
Ashes of Creation is one that's coming out. I don't even know anything about that.
Is Ashes of Creation is...
Intrepid?
It's the big up-and-coming one. But I feel like Ashes of Creation has been... Why do I feel like it's been around for a while?
It was announced in 2016. This is why.
That would explain it. I was like, feels like it's been around forever.
Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah. I mean, if it comes out and is good, cool. But yeah, I mean, the only ones that I can think of right now, yeah, Star Citizen. Yeah. Pirate Software runs a giant guild in it now. Runs or is part of? I always think it's weird when people are like, this person I really like runs a guild. And I'm like,
normally it means a creator of some kind started a guild. And
sure.
I think pretty rarely they are the ones that actually run it. But
I mean, that's one. That's why I don't like, I don't know. Maybe dude's running it and it's fine. But mm-hmm. most of the time what ends up happening is someone says I'm running it and then they leave. And then the guild sits there. It's like, I only joined because they were playing and now I got no one to play with. So that's why I don't do it. I don't want to be beholden to anyone if I fall out of love with the game. I was like, look, I love this. I had fun with it, but it's time to move on.
Yeah.
So, but with that said, that's cool. If dude doing the work, great. But yeah, I don't know. Either way, very excited to see what comes out of their animation department, studio heads, whatever going on over at Riot. I think it's going to be very cool. They've got a lot of directions they go. They have so much lore they can mess with. So that's fun. I don't know much of the lore, but I know that it should be interesting. So cool.
Apparently you have done stuff with the devs quite a few times. But I played Void Crew as part of a sponsored thing when it came out.
So did I. I played it this week, yeah.
That game is so fun.
it's great.
It's
morphed a lot since originally it released.
Early access, yeah.
Yeah, now it has kind of like a roguelite feel where you do missions and you keep going mission to mission to mission until you beat a boss. And before it wasn't really that. It was like you go on a mission, then you come back. You go on a mission, then you come back. So I think having it like this progression thing is very fun. And yeah, the boss fights are cool. Really, it has all the vibes of a great cooperative. We have to keep our ship afloat game. Mm. And I'm a big fan. Yeah, I do stuff with them all the time. Not sponsored. I do it because I like those guys. So I can say that from my heart.
No. It was a very fun game. I always get intimidated by games where it's like you have a ship and there's so many things to touch and so many jobs you could have and you have to keep the ship alive, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it actually wound up, it didn't take that long to understand what to do, you know? Honestly, the hardest part in that game was not getting jettisoned out the airlock because my sweet love, Sam Thorne, is allergic to closing doors. Bro, I don't know when the last time was that I screamed that many times.
It is, like, the amount of ways you can die stupidly is so funny to me. Like, you're not sitting down when you jump into hyperspace and fly out of reality. It's hilarious. Hey, spoilers for space, everyone and sure. chat are listening. When you open a door into the vacuum of space, if you haven't depressurized that room, everything gets sucked out. And hilariously, if you don't do that and the door is open, anyone nearby will just get jettisoned into space. It's really funny.
Bro. I'd be just minding my business.
There's the gunner. You can do some cool stuff if you put the jetpack on or you put the pack on and you're ready to go into space. You can, if you want, be like, point me directly at that thing. Jettison me. And then you go and you get shot out at it. It's cool as hell. Like, you can do some cool stuff. Mm. But for the most part, you don't want that. Especially if you're trying to repair the hull of your ship and you're like, I just want to go outside really quick. And then it is, pew, and you go off. It's like, bye. Bye, goop person. Bye.
See ya. I know you're freezing to death, but I love you.
Yeah. I think it's like the different weapons you can get, the upgrades, the way that you can change your ship around and make stuff. I love that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun. And so, and the rewards are very fun too. Right now, my guy looks like he is definitely from Dead Space. I have like the creepy sigils on my face and I'm like, that's pretty neat. I'm having a good time. So, highly recommend, especially if you have a group of friends, but even if you don't, you can play online with randos and I'm sure they will be like, close the door.
Honestly, one of the coolest parts of that game, I think, was the way that the proximity VoIP works. Because the second you get too far away, it turns into like radio talk. And it was so seamless. It sounded so nice.
Yeah. What did you do? Were you the pilot?
I was the gunner. Whoops was our pilot. And Sam was the scavenger.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you have an engineer?
No. No. So every time everything broke,
get very far.
Everything would break. And again, because we were allergic to closing doors, the whole thing would get depressurized and everything would break more. And it was bad. It was bad, bad, bad.
Do you have temperature problems, I assume? I assume it was negative degrees Celsius the entire time.
All of us was just walking around trying to do our jobs and freezing to death. Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
Fun game, though. Very fun.
At one point, I don't know what we had done wrong, but my guy was like 81 degrees Celsius. I was like, this isn't good. I was like, how am I this hot?
Yeah.
And they're like, I don't know. Go get in the goo bath. So I went back in the goo bath and I was fine. I guess I had a cold, space cold. I don't know what was going on. 81 degrees Celsius. I don't know how you live through that.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's not good. It's not good for me. I was like, it is so very hot.
But, yeah. Tell me about a thing that you played this week.
Me. Oh my. What did I? Oh, Dukes.
Yes.
They released the demo for the new Dice Warriors game.
Okay. Yep.
And Dice Warriors Origins. And I tried to play it on stream a little bit. And I was like, it was fine. But I realized they added a bunch of new mechanics to this one. And so I was very overwhelmed on stream trying to learn how to play. So not only did they add the ability to sort of move units. So you have, like before, it was literally dodge, attack, heavy attack, block, and then mount up and run around. Those were the things you were doing. Right. That was it. Oh, and then you press A to use your super attack and kill everyone. Now they're like, okay, right or left button plus up, down, left, right gives you different attacks that your units can do, where you'll send like guys to charge forward, or they'll shoot arrows, or they'll do different things. I'm like, okay, all right. Then you have right trigger will allow you to do special attacks. And sometimes when an enemy does like a charge up attack, you can use a special attack and stun them. Mm-hmm. So now I'm doing like overwhelmed shit. I'm like, oh my God. Okay. So I got to learn this and this and this. Plus, they changed the button. So when you mount up, it isn't, I can't remember what the button was before, but now it's literally you press down on what would that be? R3, whatever the hell the this thing is when you're playing the little joysticky thing.
Sure.
Now when you press down on it, you mount up. But because I get so excited when I'm playing, I'm constantly pressing down. So I'm in the middle of combat, I'm constantly mounting up. And I'm like, I don't want this. I just want to murder. So it took me a while to get the hang of it.
Mm.
Yeah, so that would be L3. Thank you, Chad. And I just couldn't get the hang of it. So because I'm a psychopath and I love these games, right, off stream, I was like, you know what? I'll try. Because while I was playing on stream, my commander would keep dying and it'd be like, you lose. I'm like, what is he doing? Stay in the back, asshole. What are you doing? He's like, Yun Shao will not be defeated. And he gets killed. I'm like, cool. So I kept losing because my commander would die. So I was like, all right. I'm going to remap some buttons. I'm going to go in. I'm going to play just how I think it should be played. Mm-hmm. And I went through and I absolutely destroyed the map. I was so pleased. I was like, okay, all I need to do is rebind some buttons. Was absolutely like, I had the most fun. I was just like going through, killing guys. They got 1,000 kills. The game, when you get 1,000 kills, is like lightning and shit. And it's like, you're the best. And I was like, yeah, I am.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then once you beat the level, it's like it goes to black and it's like pick up the game, but also, and then Lubu jumps off the ramparts and you start a mini game where it's literally how long can you survive Lubu? And I was like, first off, do not pursue Lubu. What are you doing? You shouldn't be here. Run away, Origin Man. Run away. And the game, like, Lubu's killing every commander on the battlefield.
I'm of course.
Like, what are you? So yeah, so I found out that when you play, once you're done, there's a little timer. It's like, how long did you last against Lu Bu? 3 minutes, 23 seconds. That man brutalized me. One hit killed me. I was like, and then it boots you to the start. And it's like, play it again if you want to fight him again. I was like, I don't actually. I'll wait for the full
no,
game.
No, good. No, yeah. I don't think
if
I
anything,
will.
It made me want the full game more because it's very clear that so. Anyone who's played Dynasty Warriors, you know the start of the game is the Yellow Turban Rebellion. Every time. Yellow Turban Rebellion, it always starts that way. And so the fact that we're in something later, I'm like, oh, my character will be fully leveled by then. I'm not even like, why am I even worried about this? What am I stressing for no reason? So I'll wait for the full game. But it was fun. I liked that a lot. And it reminded me that I likes what I likes because you had weapon choices, right? And none of the weapons I like were on that list. And I was like,
oh, boo.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, I guess I'll play with these weapons, but I want my Zhao Yun weapon. I want to spin around and like twirl and stab. I just want a fast spear and I want to jump in the air and slam on the ground and mend a fly. Go. Pew!
Yeah. I mean, Dynasty Warriors is about the ultimate power fantasy.
It really
so you
is.
You want to use the weapon you want to use and feel as cool as possible.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's all I want in this world. That's all I want is just to use the weapon I want to use and feel as cool as possible. Mm-hmm. Is that too much to ask?
Come on now.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was fun. That was really neat. Other than that, I've been trying to finish games and I'm still on the same RPG as I was before, except now I'm further and I'm like, are these ever going to end? Like Dragon Age? Every time I think I'm at the end, another side quest pops up and I'm like, I got to do it. It's for my companions. I got to do it.
Right.
And it keeps happening. I'll complete one side quest, go back to my little base and another one will be there. I'm like, just give me them all, right? Like, just give,
right. Yeah, just
give me all of them and yeah. I'll pound them out. But no, it's like, there's one more. Also, one more quest. Also, go to a funeral. Also, help these two characters date. Also, go do this thing. Also, meanwhile, I'm over here. The one girl I picked to, like, smooch up on, she's like, well, if I kiss you, you'll die. Like, what do you mean? It's like, why does this always happen to me every time?
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
Oh, buddy. Yep.
So I've been trying to do that. I've been doing Romancing Saga 2, literally right back there. I've been playing it. And that's a fun game, except now I'm at the point where it's very, very hard. I'm at the end of the game. It's already too difficult because it's like a game designed to be hard. And straight up, there's this boss Kaczynski, F this dude, or Kaczynski, whatever his damn name is. He has an ability that one-shot kills you. And so if you one-shot, because I'm at the end of the game, my emperor can't die, like, because he's the last emperor in the line of emperors. So What ends up happening is when he one-shot kills me, one of my men sacrifices himself for me. And there's a scene where it's like you, and there's like these like golden stairs leading up to a white door. And it's like, well, I guess it's my time. And then one of your guys, the last guy, was my like tank. And he's like, no, I'll go. And he like died for me, Dukes. And I was like,
but no,
I need you. I gave you all my good gear. Where are you going? So I'm like, he'll leave. I'm like, no.
At least drop your gear before you go. Wait.
So he dies for me. And so I have to go find a new tank. And so I got this new tank, brought this tank in, and was like, okay, I'm good. Re-equipped all the gear, went back in, started fighting this guy again. And he was like, one shot killed my archer. I'm like, how do I beat this guy?
Oh no.
So I'm having trouble. I feel, yeah. So I just stopped trying to fight him and I'm going around the world completing all the other side quests. And I'm like, maybe I just need to be stronger. But some of these bosses are tough.
Yeah.
Anyway, Romancing Saga 2. It is a game designed to be hard. So that's the thing. Yeah, I've been doing that. And then I made a they released Dragon Quest 3 HD 2D, 2D HD, whatever the hell it is.
Okay.
Very, very good game. Except I made my team. My team is basically designed to be like a really cool group of badasses. And Krendor. And the reason why I made Krendor is because there was a clown class in the game. And
I thought that's to myself, right. Oh, I remember you talking about this. Right, yeah, right, yeah. Right. Yes.
Chat was like, hey, Jesse, clown class eventually becomes one of the best classes in the game. And I was like, yeah? And like, oh, yeah. It's like, okay. So I kept playing. I'm like, you know, I have yet to discover this amazing. People are like, it really, dude, it's going to pay off. I'm like, it is not paying off.
Yeah. Last week you were saying it is by far the worst class you have.
Yes. Yes. And it keeps getting worse. Krendor literally, I'm glad this is on film. Krendor literally, we're in the middle of a fight and Krendor goes, Neener, Neener, you stink. Falls asleep. Like, what was the point? I was like, so he taunted an enemy and then fell asleep so he couldn't react or dodge. And I'm like, what do you mean?
Oh my God. What?
Actively one of the worst characters I've ever had in a game. I'm like,
but sucks, so dude. Aptly named though.
Yes, yes, yes. I really lucked out with that Krendor name. What sucks is that it's literally just a man in a clown suit, but my options for putting him in, the only options I have are like old men. So Krendor is an old balding man with a huge mustache and a clown suit. And he like yells at people and then falls asleep. And everyone's like, dude, he's going to be so good though. I have no knowledge of this. There's no indication that this will happen.
Do you think you've been goofed? Or
no,
do you think people are telling the truth?
The chat usually tells the truth, but in a way that is for their own benefit. You know what I mean? Like they'll say, oh yeah, he'll become something good later on. What they don't tell me is that later on is like, if you hit level 99, you know, like that kind of thing. There's always a little hint of truth in their terrible, terrible lies.
Right. No. I got you.
So what a treat. And I'm trying to beat all of those because I have 8 billion other games I want to play. And I'm like, well, I started down this rabbit hole. By God, I'm going to finish it. My objective is to try to get everything done by the 9th of December, because that's when Indiana Jones comes out. And I am going to mainline that game. So excited. Nice. Oh, I love Indy. I love any and all games coming out of, Machine Works? Very excited.
Mm-hmm. Man, I forgot about that game, actually.
Yeah.
I'm still... RPG-wise, I'm still... It's just Metaphor.
Yeah.
And the other day...
It's still to beat Metaphor.
Bro, the other day, I was playing it on the couch, and Sam goes, oh my gosh, are you like almost done with that game? It feels like every time I see you, you're playing it. And I was like, no. He goes... How far in are you? And I was like, well, when you play the demo, you can play up to the point that you can do a dungeon and fight the first like major antagonist character. And I just finished that. He was like, what do you mean? I was like, well, I'm just going real slow.
I get it. There's a lot to see and do, especially in the, real like, slow, the big dude. City. Yeah. It's also just like there's so much going on in that game.
Yeah.
Big fan. Like I you're so early. I can't even like talk about it with you. Like so, you're still so early in the game.
I really fucked up because for some reason, convinced myself that the best use of my time. So it does the persona thing, right? You have 10 days, and by the end of those 10 days, you have to have beaten this thing, right? And so I was like, okay, so I should spend 9 days getting swole as shit, and then spend the 10th day doing the dungeon.
Sure.
That was wrong.
That's what I did, though. And I did it just fine.
Can I ask you what is maybe a really stupid question?
Sure.
Is there anywhere to buy mana stuff in town?
All right. So I'm going to tell you how I beat that first dungeon. And okay. You're going to be like,
because oh. I ran out of mana by halfway through the dungeon and was like, absolutely. Oh, yeah. I'm fine health wise, but I have no magic left.
Big same. So the thing that the hot tip I got that was super interesting is if you select the mage archetype, what ends up happening is one of the abilities the mage archetype has is if you kill an enemy on the overworld, you get SP back, right?
Right.
And so what ends up happening is what I did is I, right before the final boss, I was completely out of any sort of mana. I was like, oh my God. So what I did, I saved and then switched archetypes to mage, level 1 mage, and then went, because I was overleveled in general.
And just went around smashing shit.
Went back to the first floor, killed the dogs repeatedly, just on a loop, over and until everyone's MP was maxed out or SP was maxed out. Then I went back, saved, fought the final boss. Yeah.
That's so
I
did it all so in smart. The day.
Yeah, I think what the game is telling you to do is go in early. Do a little bit of the dungeon, leave the dungeon, go spend some time doing other shit, come back to the dungeon once your SP is back. But because I was on the last day, I was like, well, I can't leave or I fail. Right. So what are my options? And they're like, oh, just literally put on that one particular archetype, do it, and you can switch back to whatever you were using. Here's the thing. I realized, though, on that last boss, I probably should have just kept the mage archetype on because there was a lot of things I was like, oh, I probably could... If I had ice, this would be real helpful, but I don't have ice.
Yeah.
So I learned some lessons, but yeah.
Yeah. That's good to know. I didn't know that was a thing you could do with mage. Mm. Yeah, I wound up like the first 5 days. The first couple of days I focused on like getting stats and then unlocked that side dungeon that you can do. Went in there and beat up goblins for 2 days. And Great. Then
yeah.
And then I was like, great, I'll just keep fighting goblins. In my mind, I was like, I'll just fight goblins every day until they're if I go in with a magic user, when they rage, it doesn't insta-kill me. Because what wound up happening, right, is because that's...
Wait, so you spent multiple days fighting the goblins?
Yeah. I would just go back in and fight them again. Because they were like...
Did you not do all the... Like, I went around town and like got people to like me. I got the one lady who's the vendor. I'm taking care of her dog now or whatever.
I did all of the quests that were available to me and talked to everybody that I was able to talk to.
But I mean, like, did you do the things where you will like go and like you're min-maxing your crown stats?
Right.
Where it's like every day I was doing, like I'm putting in work. My crown looks like a real ass crown now.
I did maybe like 10, not 10. I did like 5 days of that stuff. Okay. Yeah. And then the rest of the days, this was the run where I fucked it all up and had to start first day of the 10 days. But yeah, I spent like 5 days focusing on my stats and then 4 days just going back and fighting goblins over and over again. Because I was like, they get so much stronger and hit so many more times if you go in with a mage or a healer. That if I can go in there with a mage or a healer and be fine, then I'll know that I'm totally ready for this last dungeon, right?
Hold on. This says so much about you as a person. I cannot stress this enough. This is the game literally told you, hey, goblins do not like mages. Don't bring a mage there.
Yeah, I know.
Mages will get their asses beat.
I know.
Do not do this. And you said, well, if I can go there with a mage and win,
no.
I must be very good and I can level up.
Remember, I did 4 straight days of goblins. So 2 days I went in with classes that made sense. And then I was like, I'm one hit killing these motherfuckers. I'm going to take in a healer because my current quest with what's his ass is to get the healer to level 10. So fuck it, I'll just bring the healer in there. And if we can go in there and be fine with a magic user, then great.
That's so funny. Like the game is like, do not do this. They will brutalize you. Don't do it. And you were like, watch me.
Look, I got all the way to the boss door and then was like, but I'm not going in there.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I was like, I'm ready, dude, but then had no magic. I went in there and halfway through was like, I have no fucking magic. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It would have worked. Yeah,
what's crazy about it is after you beat that point, the way the game exponentially grows is wild. Like the
things available to you.
Yeah, it like becomes very, very like without spoiling stuff, you end up going on quests and doing things that were not expected by me at all. And so, yeah, it's interesting to see the way the game changes and develops over time, because it is not like where I'm at is not the same as where it was in the beginning. And it's like really cool. I must stress to you, very cool stuff in metaphor. Definitely like. We talked about games of the year last year. I mean, it's a contender, despite what the internet may say, because I guess the internet's decided RPGs are stupid and lame, which I feel like has been the thought for years, but like, we'll see. I mean, I think it deserves to win, but also Final Fantasy VII is going to win a lot of awards. We'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, I am curious. When is that? When are the Game Awards?
Next week? The week of the 11th, 12th, 13th.
Oh, yeah, a couple weeks away.
So I think it's the 12th. Thursday the 12th, I think?
A couple weeks, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So that'll be a whole thing. If Elden Ring DLC wins Best RPG, I'm fine with it. That doesn't affect me in any way, but it'll be hilarious to see the reactions online. So I'm down for that either way. Like, it doesn't affect me. I think any of the nominees for best game could win, and I'd be like, all right. Like, it isn't like, all right. Like, there's nothing I'm like, that's definitely the winner.
Right.
Like last year, for example, it was so, even though I love Alan Wake, it was so obvious that Baldur's Gate 3 was going to win. This year, I'm like, doesn't bother me at all. Like, whatever. It's fine.
Yeah. It is what it is. Yeah.
It is, in fact, what it is. I'm trying to look and see. What's really funny is that on my desktop at home, I have totally different things than what I have at the office. And the games I have at home are really funny because I have the League of Legends Ruined King on here that I've never played, and I feel like I should one day.
It's good. It's like a turn-based RPG thing, yeah.
Yeah, I have Chasm the Rift, which is a like Doom-esque shooter. I have Diplomacy is not an option. A game called Cross Blitz, which is actually a very fun card game. That's like you play as little lion characters. I think you would enjoy Cross Blitz, dude. Mm. And then for some reason, I also just have I guess I must have a lot of League of Legends games at home from Kristen, probably, because I was the Mage Seeker, a League of Legends story.
I liked Mage Seeker a lot too. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't played that one either. And then for some reason, I also just have Baldur's Gate 3 and Potionomics on my computer at home. Shout out to Potionomics. What a cute game.
Very cute. Yeah. Had an update.
Yep. Potionomics, very fun.
Can I tell you about another game that I played this week?
I would prefer if you did, yes.
Okay. I played a game called Locomotive. Locomotive.
Right. So it's Crazy Train.
Yes.
Great. Locomotive. Love it.
So this is a classic, a murder happens on a train sort of scenario. It's a point and click murder mystery game. And again, in classic style, an old eccentric lady is on the train and she's about to announce who is going to take over her empire, and then gets stabbed in the back while they're going through a tunnel and no one can see anything. And when they come out of the tunnel, she's dead. And everyone's like, what happened? At this time, you play as Arthur, who is the executor of her will. She's his attorney, or he's her attorney. He's very like low whiz, high int, I was saying, because he's like, I love math. I love spreadsheets. I'm really good at my things, but really stupid about everything else, right?
Yes, yes.
And essentially, they determine, okay, well, what is written in her will? That's going to give us a good idea of who would have the most to gain by killing her, right? Like, who gains something by her dying? Okay. But unfortunately, at the very start of the game, the will flies out the window of the train. So, as Arthur, everyone sort of put it on you, like, whatever you have to do, figure out what was written on that will so that we can like have somewhere to start from, because the authorities aren't going to be able to be here like until we get to a town. You know, we're going to try to like cover up the fact that an old lady died on the train so that people don't freak out. And it's fully voice acted. The way that everything, it's like pixel animation. The animations are so good. And it has some of my favorite like storytelling tropes in it that just made me so happy. It does have a little bit of moon logic, in my opinion. There were a couple moments where I was like, I guess I'll just go to this character and literally hand them every single thing I have in my pockets to see if something works. You know, I was resorting to that.
Yeah.
But super cute game. I really, really, really like it. I'm excited to finish it. Yeah, if you like sort of old school style point and click, like side scroller mystery games, yeah, it's really fun.
And what was this game called?
Locomotive.
Locomotive.
So Locomotive.
It seems
like the
right
train
up my alley.
Yes, I think you'd love it.
Yeah, like I'm a big fan of both genre and type of game. You know what I mean? Like it's right where I love.
Also, shout out to whoever did the old lady's voice, because the second she started talking, multiple people in chat were like, did you voice her? Because it's that classic, like, I'm an old lady and I'm excited to have you all here, you know?
Yep. Yep. That sounds very, very similar to anytime I play a game and someone's like, oh, is that you, Jesse? No, it never is.
No, nope.
But I'm glad that we've infiltrated your brain enough that you think that if a voice sounds like, oh, I'm an old man, you're like, Jesse, did you voice that?
Yeah.
Like, you fools. Yeah.
No, I wish.
There's a game that I got to see some of, and I'm excited for the release. It is like the most Davis coded game I've ever seen in my entire life.
Okay.
But it's also incredibly unique. It's called The Edge of Allegoria. Imagine an RPG that is very, I don't know, like both earthboundy, but also like not. It's hard to describe. It is a game that looks like it's on Game Boy. It's designed to look like a Game Boy game, but it absolutely does not take itself seriously. And it has the same vibe as if you were, again, playing one of the Mother games, right?
Except
like goofy and
very
fun.
Old Pokemon.
And that's the vibe. Is it supposed to have like a Pokemon feel as well? But one of the best parts is because it doesn't take itself so seriously, it has kind of the writing qualities of Monster Prom, which I love. So there's a whole scene where you like get high on mushrooms and you're like, dude, something's wrong. Like stuff like that. It's very clever. It's a pretty neat game. You could play the demo right now. Like I did, but, the game I think comes out next week. So definitely one to look at. Pretty cute. It definitely scratches an itch because it's an RPG. It's like a legit RPG, but it's just, you know, fun cute thing. So
it looks very cute. I've wishlisted it.
I actually saw a game that I was like, oh my god, this is such a Dodger game, and now I can't for the life of me. Here's the problem. I wrote it down on a thing at my computer at the office, and I was like, god, this is the game for you. And I don't have it. We'll have to find it and do it next week, I guess.
We'll have to have a little gab.
Yeah.
Next week.
Oh man, heartbreaking. It definitely was like, oh yeah, Dodger's gonna love this. And now I don't have it. I don't know what happened to it.
I always feel it warms my heart when one of my friends is like, I saw this game and it reminded me of you. It's very sweet.
That's I think you and I have the games we love. Mm-hmm. And because we love them so completely, we are kind of coded into those worlds.
Yeah.
So it doesn't like people know what. Oh, no, that's a Jesse game. That's a Jesse. I'm like, yep. That's true. You got me. Nailed me pretty good there.
Mm.
Yeah. Damn, it's going to make me so upset because I just don't know what it is.
Can you describe it?
I can't remember at all. I would recognize the logo if I saw it.
Is it like a game that's coming out on Steam soon or?
Yes, in the next 2 weeks. It was part of like new releases, and I just don't remember what it is. What's funny is I tell you, but I went to the Steam page and it's all Steam sale right now, and I cannot get to.
So if you go
upcoming
to the top, it says new and noteworthy, and when you click on that, you can go to upcoming releases.
Oh, I'm doing this. It's happening. We're here. Okay, now to find a thing that I thought I saw. It's gonna be great. I'll figure it out. This is gonna be me looking at a screen trying to find a thing on a podcast. Not the greatest form of entertainment. I'll figure it out. I wrote it down. So it's like not a big deal. It's just frustrating that everything's at the office and
sure.
I'm at home. So that's cool.
Oh my gosh. Entropy Survivor's coming out on the 4th. I'm really excited
stuff is
for
coming.
That game.
Path of Exile 2 is coming out on the 6th as well, I think. Which, by the way, did you play any of that? Have you seen any of that game?
Of which one?
PoE 2?
No.
Chat, let me ask you a question. When it comes to Path of Exile, have streamers been allowed to stream some of it? And have you seen the character select screen? I'm just this. Before I talk about it, I want to be able to discuss what I think is the coolest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Yes, you've seen Character Select? Great. I don't know if this is the same thing, so excuse me.
Okay.
But they've showed us. Yes, great. The Character Select screen might be the most badass select screen in the history of select screens. It's a bunch of your characters you can pick from, all on the gallows. And they're all sitting there on the gallows, and you pick the one you want to play. And then when the game starts, everyone else hangs but you, and you escape. And it's awesome. And I was like,
whoa,
that's the most badass intro. I was like, that's cool as shit.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. I was like, that's all. Very cool intro.
Damn.
Love that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Wait, when game that very come dark. Out?
The 6th. Dude, if you want to play it together, I would love to play that with you.
I would love to.
I don't want to talk about anything that hasn't been revealed, but like, we talked about it before when I played the like witch class. I could make a bunch of skeletons, and that was cool. But it didn't really sync with me until I realized that my skeletons could make skeletons for me. And at a certain time, I was just like walking through a level, and dude, skeletons was popping up and murdering other skeletons. I was like, I'm the greatest player. Yeah. So I am down. I'm down to play.
Yeah.
I would love to play with you. It'd be very fun. So
I haven't played. I didn't play Path of Exile. I haven't played.
That's probably for the best, to be honest.
So yeah, I'll be going into Path of Exile 2, sort of not squeaky clean, but like, you know, pretty wiped.
Yeah. I would love to play that with you. I think it'd be super fun. I don't know that you need to play the first one. If anything, the first one probably just confuse you, considering it's like a lot. There's a lot that goes into that. So, yeah, I would definitely say the second one seems pretty fun.
Hell yeah. Let's do it. That sounds great.
I would love to.
It's it's groups of four, right? Up to four in that game?
Great question. I would assume so.
Up to 6. Whoa.
Ooh.
Oh my goodness. Maybe we could get a little Cranner in there. Maybe a little Smam. I don't know.
How big is the skill tree? So the skill tree isn't like a tree really this time. It's you get skills, but then you also get gems to augment. So you can like make builds based on like, you don't have to pick things. So a great example is as the witch, I could make an army of skeletons with swords, or get skeletal archers, or get skeletal bombers, because I only had so much, I don't know what the term would be, let's just say mana. I only had so much that I could use. I was like, all right, well, I guess I could get a bomber, but like I don't know, but like there's, you have to pick and choose things,
right?
And I think that's pretty clever. But I don't know what the final version of that's going to look like. This is from what I played in the summer, right? So
yeah, it'll be cool to check out. People are saying it's mostly passive, which is more my speed, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. Try and remember what I think at one event I played a sorcerer, mage, whatever, and I got my ass beat, like just beat. Mm-hmm. And then I played the witch, went back to the same fight that beat me, stomped it in one go. So I don't know if it was because I was playing suboptimally the first time, or if I just genuinely, like, one character is just significantly better than the other. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I'm excited.
I don't know. It looks like we're up on the time for news. Do you have some news for us this week, Jessup?
Yeah, let's talk. Hey, it's a weird time to be alive, but first off, let's talk Horizon. Okay. A franchise that I love, despite everyone telling me that they hate it, and it doesn't matter to me. I love it. I love Aloy. She and I will get married one day.
Yeah.
But, hilariously, I do have a question. As someone who unabashedly loves the Horizon franchise to the point where he got the VR game just so he could play VR in the Horizon world, I, and I assume others, do not understand Horizon Lego. Because it did not sell well. And I have many questions about who it was for, because I don't know it's for Horizon players, and I don't know it's for kids. I do not know what they were thinking. I would love to know the inside baseball of that. Why right. it was made? What was the behind the scenes? Was it like something? I just don't understand it. But on Steam, at least, it had less players than Concord. And that's rough, buddy. So I don't know. It's always seemed weird to me that was the choice they made. Even when it came out, I was like, oh, that's cool. That's fun. I'm not going to play it, but like, that's fun. I have no
Interesting.
Clue. Don't understand it.
Yeah, that feels like the Venn diagram of people that are super into Lego games and super into Horizon. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if that crossover of people would be really into Lego Horizon.
Exactly. Like
it's fine.
I understand conceptually that taking the Horizon universe and making it Lego makes sense because you're building things and constructing things and you have the machines. Like, I get it. But gameplay wise, I just don't understand who it's for. But the reason why I was like, oh, well, it doesn't bother me that much is because I didn't understand who the Switch was for. And the Switch is one of the most popular consoles of all time.
So true. Like, yeah.
I was like, I don't get Switch.
Sometimes
I never will.
We can't see the innovation, you and I, right. you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And so I was like, okay. So maybe this will be huge. It is not. But then, hilariously, in a way that almost transcends parody, Tencent released footage, like stuff from their new game, which literally is just not even an homage to Horizon. Straight up copy. Like just a copy paste of
What's
Horizon.
It called?
Oh God, the name is like.
I'm going to type
it's
in
like, Tencent Beyond High Fidelity.
Tencent like, Horizon game. I'm going to type in.
It's like Hyperbolia Beyond the Future of.
Light of Motoram.
Same thing. Yeah.
Is the
sure.
name of it. And
Terrible
it did
name.
Come up when I typed in Tencent Horizon.
Yeah, no, that name sucks. Light of Motoram is a bad name. But anyway, my favorite comment I saw is that everyone was like, man, this is just a ripoff. This is a ripoff. And one guy wrote, damn, that character's way hotter than Aloy. I'm like, the bootleg anime version of Aloy? Like, you trash. My dude, you got trash takes. It was so funny. He's like, yeah, finally, a really hot character. And I was like, who are you, child? You suck. Absolutely shameless. Like one of the most shameless things I've ever seen. It is so very clearly a ripoff. Like just the side-by-side shots, I have no clue. Don't understand how people can get away with that, but there are no copyright laws in China, I guess. So you can do whatever the hell you want. I don't know. I don't know what the rules are, but it looks dead on similar, and that's crazy to me. I don't understand Damn. How they got away with that, but Tencent's been doing that for a while, so we will see. But it looks so similar.
Yeah it do looking at the screenshots.
Even bootleg Aloy's funny to me. Like, I just the fact that people are like, dude, so hot. I'm like,
it's because there is a sweet little beanbag bed full of people who only think anime characters are hot, and if you try to make them look even remotely like a for reals person, they're like and I've just accepted that at this point.
Yeah, it's so dumb, but I will say it is the exact same. This is like a stretch, but it feels the same way to me, so I'm gonna say it anyway. It feels the exact same way as when you see dudes in comments of like in Instagram models posts, and they're like, you could be an actor. You're so talented. You could be an actor. It's like, bro, doing a skit while shaking your hips does not an actor make you. Like, that is, you are way off. You got suckered in by like a body that you definitely want to see naked. And now you're like, I love you. I think you're very good at this. Like,
it's the rose colored glasses. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Same thing with anime stuff. It's it's just rough.
It's just like, better. Right. It's just better if it looks like an anime waifu.
Yeah,
Jesse.
Yeah. Meanwhile, if you were to stick an anime character in real life, that person would be. You'd be like, "What is the matter with you? What? Like, you would not look natural. Terrifying." With that said, you know, I can't help it. Aloy is just the best. Anyway. hey, Baldur's Gate 3 came out with new stuff, in case you were curious. My goodness. Crossplay, 12 new classes and a photo mode, all coming in 2025.
Subclasses, right?
Yes. 12 subclasses. Yes. Subclasses. I'm sorry if I just said classes. That's okay. All coming down the pipeline. Plus, you'll be able to join your friends in various things over the Larian network. Mm-hmm. And so new abilities, animations, summons, cantrips, unique dialogue stuff. Apparently for the Oathbreaker Knight, which was written reactively for Oathbreakers, which I didn't have as a Oathbreaker in my playthrough, which would have been interesting. A lot of other stuff. Very excited. Honestly, the more I think about it, the more I feel like Baldur's Gate 3 could keep this train going for a long time. The thing they need to do is the thing they did with Divinity, which is make a GM mode.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can like dungeon master the hell out of it. And I think that'd be very... I would spend real ass time to make a Jesse Cox story in the world. I would put it together. I would get friends to do the voices. I would be like, yeah, I'd be like, you know, Krendor would be the goblin. He'd be like, hey, I'm a goblin. Right?
Yeah.
Like, the whole thing, you be the old lady.
Of course. Like, naturally.
Right.
I have a wheelhouse. Yeah. Thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would love to do that. They need to make that happen. I think that'd be a ton of fun.
I agree.
No, I would. Or they could just hire me to create the Jesse Cox official mod called Return to Castle von Jessenstein. And it is players have to go into my hell castle and fight creatures and get loot. I've called this Dungeons and Dragons. It's a game I've created.
Whoa, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Damn.
You roll dice to get through.
That seems a little old school, though.
It'll catch on, I think. Okay. It'll take 40 years, but I think it'll catch on.
I've established that I'm not an innovator, dude.
Right.
I don't know what the people want, so.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Now Tencent has stolen that idea and is already making a Castle von Jessenstein game. It's just me, but like a sexy anime version. And everyone in the comments is like, I like the anime version better. And I'm like, cool.
Great.
Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Yeah, so glad.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, I had a bunch of news at the office. I don't have that news anymore.
Fuck it.
So that sucks. But, very excited to see what's coming out over the next week or so. Mm-hmm. It is weird vibes that this week not much is coming out because it's holiday here in the States. So this is what sucks about this. I took the time to go find a bunch of indie games and hype them up.
Yeah.
And it's all at the office. So I want you to know, indies, I got you next week. I got you.
Next week, we'll go really hard on it. Yeah.
I got you. Mm-hmm. But That's life.
We have a guest arena next week that I've been working to get for a while. So I'm very excited.
Is this a guest that keeps saying no to you? And you finally had to be like, please.
It's a person that is unfathomably busy most of the time.
So it's Sam.
We got him. No, not Sam.
Damn.
One day we'll get Sam in here.
it's a hard ask. I know it's going to be tough. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yep.
Well, I hope you had a fantastic Thanksgiving.
It was lovely. Everything was good. And like I said, it was just lunch and it took 2 hours and it was great. Solid Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I think I'm going to be doing a small thing maybe next weekend with like us and Sam's parents and stuff.
I was about to say, like, you guys don't have like a Thanksgiving vibe there. So
we normally do something
interesting
just because I get homesick around this time. And that's so it's like a nice thing to do. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I hope any of you who had something to celebrate this week, I hope that you had a nice time. And look, we're here. We'll be back next week. True. So if you're looking to get some more Jessup and Duggar action, next Friday, we'll be here.
I like the anime versions of them better.
Yeah. If you can deal with our disgusting real life faces.
Ugh, look at this trash. Yeah,
I know. God, awful.
I'm what, so hairy you... in real life. My anime character, you... clean. Pure
what have you got
shaven.
Going on this week, sir?
That's all right. I was just going to try and make myself into One Piece. Not One Piece. One Punch. Jesus Christ. I know. I am the least anime literate person who ever lived. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
If only Saitama was in One Piece.
Yeah. Yeah. Punch his way to find that One Piece and we know what it was. Yeah. This week, I'm going to be trying to finish up a bunch of stuff. Again, I'm going to try and get everything done before the 6th of December. So expect me. I don't know how many new things you're going to see, but I have a bunch of things. Oh, you know what I definitely want to talk about? This is the game I want to talk about. Hey, VR AR space. I want to play this. I'm going to try and figure out how to play it on stream. First off, Trombone Champ is on VR, which is hilarious.
Yes,
and
I saw it.
Like, that's amazing, and I want to play that on VR. The problem is streaming VR seems to be impossible. I don't know how to get that to work. I've been trying, and I can't figure it out. It always breaks.
I've never tried.
And then also a game that I really think everyone should play because it's so unique and neat. It is a game. Oh, boy. I'm going to actually find the title because this is worth the time. Walltown Wonders is the name of this game. It is a VR game that is really AR, where you put on your goggles and you're in your room and your walls and stuff. A little shop will appear and a little person will be in your wall and be like, hey, how's it going? Let's make a town. And you build a town in your home in the walls. And suddenly they got trains and planes and shit flying around your home in the walls. It is cool as hell. So you have like an entire city. Yeah, you have an entire city built into the walls of your home. And it has the exact same vibe as when you see those TikToks of like a rich person. They build a Lego thing in their walls. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I'm rich. I built a Lego thing in my walls.
Yeah,
same
thing.
Yeah. Except it's VR and it's very cool. I love it. It's so unique. I love the concept. Big fan of that kind of stuff. So
hell yeah.
I want to hype them up. That was definitely one of the games I was going to talk about. And I just remembered it. So I'm going to give you the credit now because it just came out. And so check it out. Very cool.
What was it called?
Walltown Wonders is the name of it.
Cute. Walltown yes. Wonder.
Yep. Very cool stuff.
Adorable. Mm-hmm. Is that all of your Jessup shout out stuff?
That's all I want to shout out. Obviously, I do podcasts. I do things. JesseCox.com. You can find it all.
Neat.
Yep.
I'm in a weird position where I have a really cool thing happening early next week, but I haven't been given the go ahead to like say it. So I have a cool thing happening next week.
What kind of cool?
I'm under NDA. I don't know how much I can. It's a streamed thing. It's a hosting okay. thing. I'll say that. I've got a cool hosting thing.
The hosting things are taking off. I love that for you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's so crazy. I hadn't done any hosting in years, basically since I had my kid. And now I've had a couple of things in a row. I feel very grateful. So yeah, cool thing. I think on Tuesday of next week. So once I'm allowed, once I'm legally allowed to say what that is and make a post about it, I will. But otherwise, just going to try to finish up Locomotive and, you know, I'm still a mushroom. I don't know.
Can I just, for people at home, I just realized as you were telling me this.
Yeah.
Please note that we live in two different LA t-shirt, England, freezing. Just saying. Very funny. I just realized that. And I think it's very funny.
It's pitch black outside. My office is freezing cold. Yeah. Different
yeah,
worlds.
The sun's coming up here and it's starting to get hot. And I'm like, yeah, LA, baby.
I'll trade you just for a day. I like the cold generally, but just for a day, it would be nice to feel the LA heat again.
Strangely, I don't want to take that deal.
Okay. That's fine. Guys, if you enjoyed Geekenders, if you would like to listen to this episode or any other episode, we're on all the podcasty things. If you would like to watch one of the old Geekenders episodes as a VOD, they're on youtube.com/JesseCox. And that's about it for us. We hope you've had an amazing week. We hope you have an amazing week next week. And we'll see you on Friday. Bye-bye, everybody. Take care of yourselves.
Bye.
Yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Geekenders podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Dodger, what up? Let's go.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow and see what the Geekenders are all about.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you're all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time on gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.